students, priestesses, and gods. Centered in heartfelt relationships between Black women, A Wallace Church wrestles with what a pathway to healing might look like and the necessity of community to walk it. Written by Aradai Knox, directed by Signe V. Haraday. Please visit PillsburyHouseAndTheater.org to learn more and reserve your ticket.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
As I was learning how to cook and like working in a restaurant, I kind of get creative with stuff or want to get creative. And so I'd always kind of like imagine like, man, what if we had like venison burgers instead of beef burgers? Or what if we used walleye instead of cod? Or why doesn't anybody use wild rice? Just stuff like that.
Bonjour, Anine. Welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo.
And I'm your other host, Leah Lem. Miigwech for joining us. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Every week, we have captivating conversations with great guests from a bunch of different backgrounds. We're talking musicians, artists, community leaders, healthcare advocates, doctors, educators, language warriors, you name it. We have a great mixture of passions. So we talk with people about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around the big point of purpose in our lives. And it's another day, Cole, to amplify Native voices. How's it going?
It's going great.
You don't have your Halloween decorations out yet?
Those decorations, kind of expensive, I'm noticing. If you want to get like a big, you know, skeleton or something, it's like $50 to $100. Come on now. This stuff adds up.
These are not the decorations of our youth, because we were just at a big store, big box store the other day, and saw all the really fun animated Halloween decorations that come to life and scare the goodness out of me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're pretty pricey, but pretty fun to look at.
Yeah.
But we don't get trick-or-treaters down our road, so it would just be for us.
But it's always nice to get into the mood, at least.
It's true. Sometimes I don't get into the mood until like a couple of days before Halloween, and then it goes by really fast.
Yeah, I need to get caught up on all the scary movies. I tried watching that Long Legs movie from, I think, Nicolas Cage is in it. Couldn't get into it. Just couldn't.
Oh, Nick Cage, huh?
He was doing his thing, you know, just being way out there. I'm not putting it down or anything, but just wasn't our cup of tea. Mm-hmm. But, you know, looking forward to watching a lot of spooky movies this upcoming month.
Fun.
Also interested in eating a lot of great food. Which leads us to our guest of today. We're very excited.
No. I think that's a top five segue. And also eating.
I work with TV people, and I am, you know, awestruck sometimes by the transitions they're able to do. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't a great one, but we're working on it.
It was pretty good.
Okay, I'll take it.
I'm saying it sarcastically.
I'll take it. Oh, classic. All right. Okay. So today we're speaking with Vernon Defoe, the executive chef at Gatherings Cafe, which is located inside the Minneapolis American Indian Center. Vernon is a Red Cliff Anishinaabe who has been working in the restaurant industry for over 20 years and has been part of the growing Indigenous food sovereignty movement in the city for the last decade, including working with Sean Sherman's Indigenous Food Lab and the Sous Chef. I also hear that Vernon is a bass guitarist, so of course we got to ask about that. Apparently he's been part of the Minneapolis metal and punk scene, so definitely a lot going on here, and I'm excited to dive into all of it. And here he is. Bonjour, Vernon.
Hello.
Could you start out by introducing yourself, you know, giving a quick little background and all that good stuff?
Sure. Bonjour. My name is Vern Defoe. I'm Anishinaabe from Red Cliff, Wisconsin. I've been cooking for over 20 years. I started working with Sean Sherman when he started the Sous Chef. So I was with him all the way up until about a little less than a year ago. And now I am the executive chef at Gatherings Cafe, which is located inside the Minneapolis American Indian Center. It's my first executive chef job. My job is a little more than that, though, because Minneapolis American Indian Center is a nonprofit. So I guess I'm kind of like a director of a department, so to speak. We fulfill grants by doing like food demos or like partnering with other Native programs and giving them meals, you know, community outreach.
We also like to ask, you know, how are you doing and how is the family?
I'm doing good. I just got off of work, so flew back home to jump on this.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So I'm pretty busy doing a lot of things. The Indian Center opened back up this past May, and I was hired in October. So just been super busy, like getting into the new space, you know, meeting everybody and kind of just finding my role and, you know, adjusting to all of that. Now the cafe is open and we're starting to do catering. Also, besides the cafe, the Indian Center has some meeting rooms and like a big conference room that often gets rented out. So we also cater those events like in-house, and those happen multiple times a week. So yeah, just busy, busy, busy.
It is a busy time of year. Ooh. Vernon, before we get into more about your job, is there anything that you're thinking about these days? Anything that you're concentrating on?
Honestly, I'm kind of getting tired of the heat. It's usually not this hot this time of year, and wanting fall and that seasonal change. And with that, also at work, planning new menu items that have like seasonally relevant ingredients. Also like to get into the Halloween spirit. So I like to watch horror movies and stuff like that. Usually I do that around this time of year.
Do you have any favorites?
I have a lot, but I was just thinking about watching the first Creepshow movie. One of the short stories, they have like the, I forget what they call them, but the Native cigar statue that they used to put in front of smoke shops all the time, and it like comes to life and kills people. And
what?
Yeah. Basic. It's kind of like I don't know if you saw like Tales from the Crypt, where it's like multiple short stories.
Oh yeah.
Tales from the Crypt is like based off of Creepshow, or vice versa, one or the other. But
God, we used to love that show back in the day. The music. And the end where he comes out of the thing. God, it's just iconic.
Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
That was such a good show.
Yeah, we could spend all day on this. But yeah, let's get into Gatherings Cafe. You said, you know, it's been a big lift here, you know, since you've opened it. I think I remember seeing you as, you know, the renovations were happening. You're just getting the Gatherings Cafe all set to go. Like, how's it been?
It's been a big learning experience. I've been doing things that I never thought I would do, or like opening a brand new restaurant in a brand new building and like dealing with all of that. They hired consultants to help put the restaurant together with the pieces, like the equipment and all that. So when I got there, everything was like already kind of put in place, but I just saw some things that I didn't think we needed at all. And things that we did need. So I'd have to like talk to these consultants and let them know. And of course they got annoyed because everything was like set in stone, but really it wasn't. So I had no idea like I would have to do stuff like that. Also, you know, there's a lot of different departments. So just meeting all the staff and getting to know them and hiring people and getting a team of people to gel together. And I've never worked in a restaurant from scratch. So it's been a lot of work.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Vernon Defoe, a Red Cliff Anishinaabe who is the executive chef at the Gatherings Cafe inside the Minneapolis American Indian Center.
Is the food menu completely new from its predecessor before it was renovated?
Honestly, not really, because it's for the community. That's what the whole idea of the cafe is. It's for the community. So I just kind of wanted to keep the theme of that going instead of coming in and putting my stamp on everything. So I kept a lot of the fan favorites, I guess, but maybe kind of changed them up a little bit. For instance, like we have a wood fire grill. Another learning curve is I've never worked with one of those. I've, you know, worked a grill and stuff like that, but not a massive one, and ordering the wood and dealing with all kinds of stuff like that. Because we had that, I wanted to use grilled meat, grilled bison, instead of what they used to do is like a slow braise pulled bison, kind of like barbacoa or something. And so that's a little bit different. Or like we switched up the bread, but it always came with blueberry horseradish aioli and gouda. Just kind of switched up the bread, switched up the meat. Some of the recipes are exact same. I did take some stuff off and added some new stuff, but trying to keep the price point as low as possible, because again, it's for the community, and a lot of the ingredients that we use are pretty expensive to buy. So just finding that balance of being able to break even, keep the ship floating, but also not turning people away because our prices are too high.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to the equipment, so you have a wood fire grill. Mm-hmm. Was that something that was already equipped in the kitchen?
Yeah, it was. And the HVAC system, the hoods, that all the equipment that you're cooking with is underneath, it sucks all of the air up. So smoke and all that kind of stuff is gone out. And for the wood fire grill, they had to make a completely separate system for that. That was way more complex and way more powerful. And that was all in place. Some things like I couldn't turn back on. So even though I was a little intimidated, but I'm glad I didn't though, because I really like it. We're not using it to its full capacity, but it gives us just like a unique experience compared to other places that don't have that.
Mm-hmm. And when I think of Indigenous cooking, I think of the ingredients and the seasons, but I never really thought of the equipment. Is there anything particular to cooking Indigenous foods with equipment?
Wood fire is one, so that's why I was excited. Besides that, not really. Maybe just like certain ingredients. We make hominy in-house, which has to go through a process called nixtamalization. It started thousands and thousands of years ago by the Mayans, who they had like limestone cooking dishes. They just, you know, were experimenting, and they put some dried corn in the limestone, and the lime had a chemical reaction with the dried corn that basically dissolves the hull on the outside, the like the hard skin, you know, like when you're eating popcorn, the thing that gets stuck in your teeth. It dissolves that, and then it gives back nutrients, so it becomes like more nutritious to eat, and you can actually digest it. And it was totally by accident. So there's a lot of different ways that people have done it. And one of the ways that we did it up here is hard wood ash. It does the exact same thing. The wood that we're using on the grill, we save all that and sift the ashes and use that to cook the hominy in-house. The more, I guess, accessible way is kind of how people in Central and South America use it, modern, and they use calcium sulfate. They basically make cement with it. Also has the same reaction. Baking soda is another thing you could use. But with baking soda, you get that baking soda flavor. I figured we got this wood fire grill. I will just buy hardwood, and then we'll save that ash. And that's how people did it up here, with the hardwood ash. So having that on hand. Maple syrup, we don't use cane sugar in any of our ingredients, so we use maple syrup for a sweetener instead, or agave.
You mentioned how the ingredients are expensive and you try to balance it out, try to break even. What goes into the, you know, that whole process of finding quality ingredients and, you know, vetting it? And maybe sometimes you'll find out you want to go a different direction. I'm just curious of that whole process.
It's kind of tough for some things, working for the sous chef and Indigenous Food Lab and stuff like that. I already had developed relationships with a lot of vendors because I used to buy all the food for them too. And so I just kind of brought them over. And so we get our bison from the same place. Also cook turkey, and there's like a organic turkey farm up north that we use by Pequot Lakes. The one thing that's been kind of hard is fish. I really want to get fish from Red Cliff Fisheries, which is where I'm from. They're catching fish right out of Lake Superior. To me, that's some of the best fish in the world. So it's just hard because they don't deliver it, and I'm busy, so I can't just drive 4 hours north and pick up a bunch of fish and bring it back. I supplement, you know, if I have to, I'll get whitefish from a local fish vendor or stuff like that. But I'm really trying to find different vendors and just get stuff, and things might change up. I might get beans from somebody, but they only have a limited amount. So then I'll get beans from somebody else. So yeah, there is a lot of switching up and swapping of different things, but I'm also kind of used to doing that too.
Well, you heard it here. Looking for a fish vendor.
A native fish vendor. We do get walleye from Red Lake, but it's kind of expensive. And I would like to keep what we use it for. We have like a fish melt, and I want to keep it so people can afford it. And their fish is, it's high quality, but it's, you know, it's just expensive. So
let's dig into that just a little bit more. Like, what are some of the favorite dishes that you've made? Something that you love to make on a daily basis. Talk about that favorite dish of yours.
I mean, I really like cooking meat, grilling the steaks for the sandwiches, or braising the meat overnight and then the next day, just like breaking it down for our tacos. Those two things are most popular dishes on the menu, is the bison melt and our bison tacos. The tacos are my favorite.
I've had those too.
The bison tacos?
Very good.
So have you guys been there? To the cafe since we reopened?
I was there before it opened. Leah was there afterwards. So
okay.
Yeah. Went there for like a work lunch.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you liked them.
Yes.
As far as unique stuff goes, we have a dish called the Corridor. I was just trying to think of like a balanced breakfast that a lot of times you'll see like the farmer's breakfast. You got your starch, you got your protein, you got eggs, and then there's usually like fruit or something like that. So I was trying to think of a starch that's not potatoes or toast. So I made a hominy cake, breakfast hominy cake, that's pretty simple. It's just hominy ground up into a cake. And then we added maple syrups to it. The fries really nice on the flat top. And you get your choice of fruit or mixed greens and turkey sausage that we have, turkey breakfast sausage and eggs. So it's just like a good balance. Breakfast meal.
Very nice. Very nice. You know, you're talking about how there's more that goes on to it besides being executive chef. Talk about like, you know, these food demonstrations, what people can expect to learn when they join up for that.
We have a thing called Family Fun Night there where it's kind of like a collab of all the departments, and it goes from 5 to 8. It happens once a month. And so there's a few different components to it. There's like a little fitness thing, like a health and wellness part of it. There's like a traditional activity they'll do, like beadwork or watching a video on how to make kinnikinick, which is the Anishinaabe version of tobacco made from red willow. Or then there's like the nutrition part, which is where I will do like a food demo. And I usually try to keep them pretty simple and like family oriented, something that kids can do too. But it's also, a lot of these people don't really cook, so just trying to keep it real simple and easy. One of the things I did was tahine from scratch, but trying to keep it really healthy, because tahine on fruit is good. So I use like guajillo peppers and salt and sugar, maple sugar, instead of using the dried citrus stuff that they usually put in it, which is not really good for you. I use sumac, which has like a really citrusy flavor. And just mix that up and put it on some watermelon. The kids loved it. Just something super easy. You just kind of grind some stuff up and do the recipe by teaspoon or tablespoon and all that, and put it on fruit. So just something really easy and simple.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you also show people, you know, how to gather these ingredients?
I do talk about it. The fact that there's like sumac grown all over the place, you know, it's on like the side of the highways and stuff like that. So usually it's like a recorded video. So we'll put pictures of what they look like and the parts that you harvest, how you do it. And again, I try to make it easy because not everybody can just go out and grab it. And sumac, you just cut it off and keep it out in the sun for a few days till it dries. And then, you know, pick the berries and grind them up in a spice grinder. Just keeping in mind, like, a lot of people don't have food processors or expensive pieces of equipment that they might not even know what they are or how they work. But, you know, like a spice grinder, you can go get it at Target and use it for all kinds of stuff, and it works pretty good in replacement of some more expensive equipment, I guess.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Vernon Defoe, a Red Cliff Anishinaabe, who is the executive chef at the Gatherings Cafe inside the Minneapolis American Indian Center. Let's get into the background. Like, what led you on the path that you're on, you know, getting into not only the restaurant industry, but also, you know, the Indigenous food sovereignty, you know, movement?
I started out working at a Dairy Queen in Duluth when I was like 19. They put me on the grill instead of making ice cream, and I did really good at that. So kind of knew that I was good at cooking at that point, or like, you know, had the mind of a cook, I guess, and could handle like lunch rushes and all that kind of stuff. Then I got a different job at a Tex-Mex restaurant in Duluth and learned a lot more. And as I was learning how to cook and like working in a restaurant, I kind of get creative with stuff or want to get creative. And so I'd always kind of like imagine like, man, what if we had like venison burgers instead of beef burgers? Or what if we used walleye instead of cod? Or why doesn't anybody use wild rice? Just stuff like that. And so I always had that kind of interest. And then my mom, I helped her cook dinner a lot when I was younger. I did learn how to cook venison and stuff like that. She'd make soup with venison and, or, you know, like venison burgers. We had venison burgers. So I was already pretty familiar with that. And then I was working at Common Roots, which doesn't exist anymore. And Sean Sherman got hired as the chef there. And so obviously him and I hit it off and talked a lot. Then he left to go start the sous chef pretty much. He just was doing it all by himself. I just was like, hey, if you ever need any help, let me know. So yeah, he started to get busier and I'd go help him do catering gigs here and there. And then eventually he hired me on full time pretty much, and things blew up. And then the pandemic hit. Honestly, I didn't mind not doing anything and getting paid like three times more than what I was making, hanging out at home. But after a while, though, I kind of got a little bored. Then when George Floyd got murdered, I just felt like compelled to do something. So I was going to start volunteering. Literally pretty much at the same time, Sean was called me up and he's like, hey, we're going to start a nonprofit. We want to like start it soon. So do you want to get back to work? And I was like, absolutely. That's when the Indigenous Food Lab started up. Really liked what we were doing. We started out doing food relief around the neighborhood. After that, we started making meals that were sent out to different reservations around Minnesota. And it just felt really good. And then we started kind of doing more educational stuff. And I was really liking that. Then Sean started opening up Awamni. And I had the choice to go there, but I really wasn't interested in just working in another like restaurant setting. So I was just decided to stay where we were. And then eventually I just couldn't pass up the opportunity to work for MAIC and at gatherings, especially in a brand new building, and wanted to kind of do a lot of different things. So just decided to go there. Kind of backtracking, while I did work for the sous chef, we would go to like different conferences or like Native symposiums and stuff like that. And I met a lot of people from all over the country and worked with a lot of people and learned a lot. I still get to go to those. A couple of weeks, I'm going to New Mexico with one of my coworkers for a conference, farming conference, and I've learned a lot working there.
Great. So Cole and I both know, and we can be honest here, like sometimes days get pretty tough in high stress jobs. What keeps you going?
I just love serving the community and like being able to have people taste things that they don't normally get to taste and watching people blown away by, it's like, oh, wow, I've never had bison. This is delicious. And doing the food demos, it's always culturally relevant ingredients that I use. So pretty much what I'm getting at is having little kids like not interested, and then I'll just like convince them. I'll just like, just take a little bite, just take a little bit. And then they eat it. And then 5 minutes later, they're coming back wanting more. That's like probably my favorite thing.
All right. Well, we couldn't help but notice that, you know, you're also a musician. Leah and I are musicians ourselves. She could play piano and violin, all that singing. And I'm a guitar player and singer as well. And talk about that. Are you in a band?
Yeah. I started playing music pretty young. Started out on a cello at like 12. And then we moved. And so I went to a different school and they didn't have cellos. So then I started playing the stand-up bass and orchestra. And then the teacher was like, hey, would you ever be interested in, if I bought an electric bass for the school, would you be interested in learning how to play electric bass? And I said, hell yeah. And tried to join the high school jazz band, but the jazz band teacher was Christian. And, you know, by then I was listening to like, you know, death metal and black metal and super evil stuff and would wear super evil t-shirts. And so I was just like, okay, fine, I'll just teach myself how to play. And so I just played by ear, started a band when I was like 17, and just kind of have been always playing in bands since then. And now I currently play in a band called War Plague, and it's like punk metal, I guess, best way to describe it. It's like a mixture. And we've been together for like 15 years now.
Great, great. Well, we like to ask as we close out, if you have any final thoughts, anything else you'd like to say?
Just sovereignty in general always comes to mind, like meeting with people that are working in different, you know, different fields, but everybody's native. I think we just like all got to come together and collaborate and have complete sovereignty, whether it's through education or housing, food, entrepreneurship, the arts. There's ways that everybody can come together, and having more sovereignty within the Native community, I really hope people continue to do that and grow. You know, it's awesome to see like reservation dogs or Awamni or all these different places, or just like language camps. Language is coming back all over, revitalization, or just helping keeping that, spreading that, and supporting Native people as much as we can in any way that we can.
So there you go, Leah. You can make a nice chemistry corn meal.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I know, they have such great food.
Yeah.
It fills you up and feels good eating it, so I can't complain. It's a celebration of our indigenous ways.
Exactly. Definitely a lot hungrier than I was at the beginning of the conversation. Miigwech to our guest, Vernon Defoe, a Red Cliff Anishinaabe, who is the executive chef at Gatherings Cafe inside the Minneapolis American Indian Center. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawabamin.
Gigawabamin.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
KFAI is proud to present Richard Bona at the Dakota on Thursday, September 26th. Grammy winner Richard Bona is one of the most accomplished international bass players, composers, and multi-instrumentalists. With his unique sound and vocal gift, he is continuously representing his African origins. Moreover, Bona's music addresses the continent's traditions, culture, beauty, and issues. His purpose and Bona's connection with his audience has turned him into a staple name in global, jazz, and Afropop music. Tickets for Richard Bona can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.